Imaragai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Today, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison will be speaking to us on a topic that most of us can relate to, relationships. Through relationships, Tony shares an extremely personal story where he struggles with trust, suspicion, jealousy, and many other feelings relating to relationships, and how God brought him through one of the loneliest times of his life.
I want to talk about relationships, where we need to have trust in a relationship. And if you don't have trust in a relationship, things fall apart really quickly, because it brings innuendo, it brings suspicion, it brings jealousy, it brings a resentment, it brings bitterness, it brings heartache. All these things because of trust, a lack of trust. And when we breach somebody's trust in a relationship, especially a marriage, it causes all sorts of problems. Somebody can forgive you, but it takes them a long time to retrust you again. People think, oh, you become a Christian, your life's sorted out, everything's smooth and great, and you're not going to have any more problems anymore or have any more challenges in life. But they're totally wrong. Becoming a Christian is about a commitment and a way of life, and it's about building a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you stop working on that relationship or you stop fellowshipping with God, it's the same with a marriage. If you stop talking to each other, if you stop doing things together, sooner or later, you drift apart. And then when you're drifting apart, if you're not in complete union and complete fellowship, like if you're in complete fellowship with God, then, you know, you're trusting God, you're waiting on God, you're hearing God, and you're doing what God wants you to do. And while you're in God's perfect will, things will go pretty well. But same as in a marriage. If you're trusting each other, you're talking to each other, you're committed to each other, things will go just as well. But the moment you stop spending time with each other, the moment you stop doing things, then you see you allow the enemy to come in. And he's nothing but a thief and a liar and a murderer. And all he wants to do is to bring destruction. And that's all he's about.
Say my faith was naive. Didn't I read that the things of God the world would consider absurd? So I made a vow that starting right now I'll walk by faith in every word. If I fall, well at least I'll fall having done my all to follow Jesus. If I fall, well at least I'll fall having done my all to follow Jesus. What would I lose if God proved a truth? I'd be no worse off than before. But if I am right, then think of the life I'll enjoy from the hand of the Lord. Let it be known from this moment on, I'll walk by faith and not by sight. I'll focus my eyes on Jesus, my prize, not waver to the left or the right. If I fall, well at least I'll fall having done my all to follow Jesus. If I fall, well at least I'll fall having done my all to follow Jesus.
There's been times in my Christian walk where I've dropped the ball, and I can't blame anybody except myself. And sometimes, as a Christian, we know God's going to do things in our lives, and it don't happen when we want it to happen. It gets like it's about me, not about God. And when we get so selfish about me, what about me, then God can't work in our lives while we have that attitude. And it's the same in a marriage. When it's all about me, I'm going to chuck a temper tantrum if I don't get my own way. If you don't do things the way I want you to do it in a relationship, then, you know, I'm going to get cranky. I'm going to get peeved with you. You know, I'm not going to be a happy camper. And so we need to put things in balance. And, you know, the best thing to make a relationship work with another person is because, you know what, human beings are so different. You might have fallen in love like a Mills and Boone story. It might have been terrific at first. And the romance is getting to know the person you married because we're different. We're so different. You think about it when you first get married. Everything's so rosy and everything's so good, you know. You can't wait to come home from work to see the one you married. And if she's at home or she's working, you can't wait to get home and spend time together. But as the weeks go by and the months go by, you just lose that first love. And then it just becomes monotonous. And that's the danger in a relationship. It's not to let it go stale. Need to do things together. Need to do new things together. Like if she wants to go shopping, then I urge you to, you male especially. You know, a woman needs to have companionship. She needs a husband. She needs a lover. But most of all, she needs a friend. Someone she can rely upon. And sometimes you might think it's not merely for me to be dragged around the shops and do this and do that. But, you know, sometimes we've got to do things we don't want to do in a relationship. And that's what makes them work. And so you need to say, well, if she wants to go shopping today, and then you spend the day shopping with her. But every now and again, even if she won't go to a football match with you, it wouldn't hurt her to sit on the lounge and watch a game every now and again. Yeah, she don't have to get excited. She doesn't have to get up and call the ref a one-eyed so-and-so or tell him he needs to see OPSM, you know, because he's made a bad call. I've been in a relationship with my wife and I dropped the ball. She didn't. And the thing was, because of that, we always think things are better off somewhere else or the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But I can tell you now from experience that it's not. Men, we need to spend as much time with our partners and our wives and our spouses and our children. We need to keep the romance alive in our relationship because the moment you don't, the devil will come along. And he'll bring someone along to tempt you. And you know, and I've been tempted in the past. I fell into adultery with a particular woman. He was a friend, somebody I worked with. It wasn't planned upon. It wasn't something I set out to do. But because I stopped communicating with God. When you stop communicating with God, then you're not hearing from God. I made the decision to go into this adulterous relationship. But you see, when you do things like that, it not only destroys you, but it destroys the person you're in adultery with. But it also destroys your wife, your children, her family, and all that. We don't think about those things when at the time of doing what you do. You don't think about that. But you see, I can tell you from personal experience, you may think you're going to get away with it. Nobody caught you this time. And you might think, okay, well, it's fine. We're not doing it all the time, so it doesn't matter. It's okay to do it every now and again. But when you get caught in a lie, when you get caught in adultery, you see, it's like a sickness. It's going to hang on to you. It's not going to let you go. The only way you can break it is by turning back to God. And you know what? I didn't. This went on for a while, and it went on for on and off for a little while. And then as a result of that, there was a child to the relationship who I didn't know was my child. But years later, when I found out, then the family found out about it. And you know, and I happened to be in Sydney on the weekend, and the other person rang my wife and told her. When I got the phone call that I dreaded for a long time, it came. I was sitting in a friend's flat who happened to be away for the weekend, and I never felt so empty in my whole life. I just felt that the backside had just fallen out of everything. I lost my wife, my family, my children, my brothers and my sisters. I lost everything. And even the woman who had the child, I even lost her friendship and lost the little boy, was so empty. I just sat in a room so empty, like I just wanted death to come. I figured if death comes, it's an easy way out. I don't have to face the family. I don't have to face anybody. But you see, and I just sat there so empty and so lonely and so hurt.
There are voices on the road of life, and I have made choices that I know weren't right, and they brought me to at the end of a lonely street. I am standing here today. I want to say God gave me we'll
all I was thinking about was me, how bad it is for me, how hurt I am. I didn't think about anybody else. I didn't think about how humiliated my wife must have felt. I didn't feel how angry and hurt my children must have felt. And, you know, it just destroyed me to the point where I didn't want to live. I didn't want to go and face the family. I didn't want to go and face anybody. I just wanted to dig a hole and crawl into it and disappear. When things get really bad and really worse like that, there's nothing else to do but I turn back to God. You know, I asked God, I said, God, can you forgive me? Can you do anything with me? Can you help me? God forgave me straight away the moment that I asked him to forgive me. But you know what? I had to ask the family to forgive me. And the hardest thing I've ever done in my life was to talk to my children and to talk to my wife and to talk to my church and tell them what I did and confess about my sins and get people to stand with me and to pray with me. You know what? When you're in a church or you're going to a church and you know real Christians, they will stand by you. They will pray with you. They will stand there with you no matter what happens. And the thing is, if you're in a church that and they found out you did something wrong and they don't want to talk to you and they don't want to pray for you or they don't want to know you, then they're not real Christian. They're religious people. You know, they're so religious that they think that they don't do anything wrong, but they do. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. The hardest thing for me was to come back here to Port Macquarie again and to face the music as it was. People forgave me. My children forgave me. My wife forgave me. My God forgave me. And you know what? It wasn't easy. Although they forgave me, the wounds were open, they were raw. People didn't trust me anymore. People couldn't trust what I was saying to them. And you know what? It's been a long road back to being trusted, to being the dad that God had called me to be the husband or the man that God had called me to be. We do things and the male macho image says, you know, well, I can do whatever I like. And you see, before I became a Christian, that was my selfish attitude. I took everything with a gun. I thought I was invincible. I did whatever I liked. We're not invincible. We are accountable for the things we do. And you see, accountability is something that we got to realize is that we're accountable for our actions to God. As Christians, we're accountable for the things we do and don't do as far as God's concerned. But in a family, in a relationship, we're accountable to each other. We're accountable to our wives. We're accountable to our children. We're accountable to our family, our brothers and sisters, our mum. You mightn't think you have to be accountable, but you are. You see, because when I went to prison years ago, you see, it just didn't affect me when I went to prison. It affected the woman that I was married to. It affected the child that we had together. It affected my mum and my dad, affected my family, my brothers and sisters. Every time we do something, we're accountable to somebody. And there's consequences for everything that we do. And we've got to realise that, you know, we live in a society today where everything's instant, everything's throwaway. You know, when I was a kid growing up, you got married, you was married forever. But today, people take their wedding vow so lightly, it's just like having a cup of instant coffee. Or going to Gloria Jean's, you know. We don't like Gloria Jean's today. Well, then we'll go to Buzz Cafe or we'll go to somewhere else. You know, there's no commitment to things today. And the same with relationships and marriages. But I want you to know that I was at the very lowest point of my life. I'll never forget that day as long as I live, that I was sitting in this person's flat with nobody. And nothing. And I was at the lowest part of my life. You couldn't have got any lower. My brothers come to see me, but they didn't come to help. All they wanted to know was it right? Did I do this and did I do that? Why did I lie about it? But you see, you got to understand when you tell a lie, there's never such a thing as telling a little white lie or just telling one lie. You think, if I just tell this one little lie, it'll be okay. It's not okay. Because the moment you tell one lie, you've got to tell another lie. Then you've got to tell another lie and another lie and another lie. And then sooner or later, you don't even know what's truth anymore. That I want you to know that I've overcome all these things. And today, you know, my family, my children, and my family know that I've repented and I'm so sorry for the things that I've done and put them through. But you see, real families forgive. And they've forgiven me, and it's taken a long time. Now I know how much it means to me when God forgave me, because God has forgiven me for all the things that I've done. But I've experienced my own family's forgiveness. And, you know, just the same as God forgiven me. You know what? Every day now, I try to do the best that I can. I try to do the best I can for God, and I try to do the best I can by my family. But the bottom line is that I'm still human. And the thing is, I will make mistakes every day. When I make these mistakes, when God, the Holy Spirit, convicts me of what I'm doing wrong, that I'll turn from that. I'll repent and ask God to forgive me. You know, if you're out there suffering today, you've been at the wrong end of a relationship or adultery, and you have unforgiveness in your heart today, you won't feel better about yourself until you can forgive the other person. It might have been years ago. You might have been separated now. Your marriage is gone. Everything's so lost and it's so empty. But until you learn to forgive that person, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, until you can say to that person, look, I know you did the wrong thing, but I want you to know that I forgive you today. The moment you do that, you will find God's peace. Whether you're a Christian or not, you will feel good about what you've done. But now you're just saying, well, you know, they really need to come to me and say sorry to me because they're the one that committed adultery. Even if they come and said sorry to you, if you don't forgive them, you're still going to feel miserable. The key to this is you need to forgive them. It's even better if you go and say it first before they do. But, you know, like, it's taken me a long time to live in the forgiveness and to believe that I was forgiven. And you know, today, if you're out there, especially if you're a male, and you know, you're flirting with the girl at the office, or you're flirting with someone down the club, or somebody that you see on a regular basis through work or through family and friends, and you think it's okay to have a little flirt here and there and that, and it's doing no harm. But if you're in a relationship, if you're married or you have a girlfriend, then it's wrong. You don't do that, because it might be a little flirt today, but it'll be adultery tomorrow. And if you commit adultery, think of the consequences. It's not only going to hurt you, it's going to hurt the woman that you're doing it with. It's going to hurt her family. It's going to hurt your family. We think we're never going to get caught, but everybody will see you. God sees you all the time, but somebody will see you. I just want to finish on this. You know, once I was in Sydney, and I was having dinner at Parliament House with a few politician friends and another man, and he gave me a lift to Parliament House, but we parked down near King's Cross. And here I am, I'm in Parliament House having dinner, and I'm thinking, well, nobody knows me here. We're walking down through the bottom of William Street looking for our car, and mate said, oh, you know, do you want to go up to King's Cross? He said, have a look around, nobody knows us here. And as we walked past this streetlight, there were three prostitutes standing on the corner. And as I walked past to go to the car, one of them said, hey, there goes Pastor Tony. And I stopped. And that was a little warning from God that he was watching. Here, a complete stranger, a prostitute, standing on a street corner, recognized me when I was walking past. And, you know, I went back and I said to her, I said, do you know me? She said, Pastor Tony, I saw you in Current Affair only a couple of weeks ago. And I knew it was you when you walked past, and I just had to say something. I've always taught my kids that no matter where you go, anywhere in the world, no matter what you get up to, somebody will always see you. And I say to my kids sometimes, I know what you've been up to because I don't even have to leave the house. Because when you do something you're not supposed to do, someone will always ring me and tell me, or somebody will see you. And you know, the bottom line is this, if you live every day like somebody's watching you, especially when you're in a marriage or a relationship with another woman, then before you even think about flirting with somebody, just remember that someone's always watching you.
Thanks, Tony. That's all we have time for this week. Next week, Tony continues his personal story on relationships and how God is reminding Tony that he is always there, all-seeing, all-knowing. As God reminds us in the Bible, Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You've been listening to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and the music we heard this week was from Ray Bolts and Michael James. It's been great having your company today. Remember to find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, and as always, Tony is happy for you to ring him if you have any prayer requests on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Be safe till next time.